Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. We're so excited to serve God this morning, to be a blessing to Him, to minister to Him. But in turn, He ministers to us. I want you to know and recognize that you have the very authority to determine how powerful God is in your life this morning. Your expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. You may be in a situation of chaos. You may be in the midst of sickness. You may be in the midst of poverty or bondage, but because you chose to plug into the presence of God, because you chose to be like the tree planted by the water, you will produce fruit in season and out of season. So it does not matter what you are going through at this time. The living water of Jesus Christ will turn your situation of chaos into a situation of peace, your place of sickness into a place of healing, your place of poverty into a place of wealth. It will free you up in every way, shape, and form. Greater is the God that is in you than he that is in the world. You will have the victory based upon your expectation for what God will do this day. Heavenly Father, we worship you. We give ourselves to you in this place, and we believe that you are victorious and mighty in all things. No devil greater than you. There is no affliction greater than you. There is no mindset greater than you, Jesus. Reign and rule in our minds, in our hearts, in our bodies, in our situations, in our finances, in all things. And where we are wrong, God, make us right, because we are desperate for you in this place. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Hallelujah. Come on. If you're ready to give God praise, if you're ready to give God glory and honor, just lift your hands and start clapping. All right, let's sing this with us. Sing, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on and sing that out.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on, you guys got it.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
See, people from every nation.
People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship.
Let's take it back to the top. Sing.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on, let me hear you sing it out. Sing, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on, you guys got more than that. This is for God. Come on.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth.
And his mercy shall endure forever and evermore.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth.
People from every nation.
People from every nation.
From generation.
From generation to generation.
We worship you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh.
Hallelujah.
Come on and sing.
We worship you
for who you are.
Who you are.
Come on and give God all the glory and all the praise.
We worship you.
For what you've already done.
Hallelujah.
on, sing You Are Good.
You are good all the time.
Shout it out.
You are good all the time and all the time. You are good.
Sing.
You are good all the time and all the time. You are good. You are good all the time and all the time. You are good.
Lord, You are good and Your mercy endureth forever.
Hallelujah, sing it out.
Lord, You are good and Your mercy endure it forever.
Dear Lord, You are so good.
Lord, You are good and Your mercy endure
and Your mercy
forever.
Shall endure forever and evermore. Yeah.
Lord, You are good and Your mercy endure it forever.
Sing, people from every nation.
People from every nation and tongue. From generation to generation, we worship You. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship
for who You are.
Who You are.
Yeah, yeah.
We worship You.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah,
we worship
You.
One more time, for who You are.
Who You are.
Sing, You are good.
You are good.
Come on and give God a shout if you believe it. Come on, give God a shout if you believe it. He's a good God. Come on, y'all. Hallelujah.
It's higher.
Your name is greater. Your name has conquered it.
couldn't keep you down. The grave couldn't keep you in. And hell couldn't keep you out. You reign, you reign. The nails couldn't keep you down.
Power.
so. Your blood still, it flows from your throne. Jesus, some still don't know the blood that you shed till it flows.
Come on, sing that just one more time.
Jesus, I love you so. Your blood still, it flows from your throne. Jesus, some still don't know the blood that you shed till it flows. Your blood will never lose its power, power. Your blood will never lose its power, power. Your blood will never lose its power, power. Your blood will never lose its power, power.
Sing, your blood will never lose, your blood will never lose, your precious blood.
Your blood will never
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad the blood of Jesus will never lose its power? A lot of people are worshiping a dead God, one who's still in the grave, but our Jesus rose again on the third day. Today he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and this house is filled with the Holy Ghost. I love the fact that we don't have religion, but we have a Jesus who's living within us. Amen? Why don't you do me a favor? Go find 5 people you do not know. Shake their hands and say, good morning. You just look marvelous today. Come on, don't be a snob. Find 5 people you don't know and say, good morning. Good morning. Come on, go find somebody. Come on now, you still got a minute and 30 seconds. You're acting a little snobby today. Turn to the person behind you and say, good morning. One minute. Say hello to somebody you don't know.
Are you looking to spice up your marriage? Listen, with our marriage encounter here at His Tabernacle, we want you to hear firsthand from a couple that have experienced the encounter themselves. Listen up.
We attended the marriage encounter with an expectation of growth in our marriage. We've been married for a long time and we had a great marriage, and we just wanted to have God in the center of it and grow in what we had already established for 23 years.
And I, for one, can tell you I had zero expectations going in because our marriage was very healthy and thriving. But coming out of it, we got a lot of tools, a lot of things that we use on a day-to-day basis to help our marriage grow and thrive with God at the center.
The next marriage encounter is November 8th through the 10th. It's only $425. That's less than your mortgage payment in a month. And the growth and expectation that you're gonna get from this encounter is well worth it.
What are you doing?
Look what I'm doing.
You're eating during the week of prayer and fasting.
Oh my God, I forgot.
Hey family, something new that we're doing different this year. We're actually holding a second week of prayer and fasting. We're holding it next month from September 10th through the 13th, right here in the sanctuary at 7 p.m. We're intentional here at His Tabernacle. We've had great growth with groups, with our Ithaca campus, and we want to continue growing and end our year out strong. So make sure that you come out and join us for prayer.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. Can we give a shout of praise to God for His presence and for the working of miracles in our lives this morning? And one of the things that I love about this church is that we realize that God is not just going to do work in your life through the praise and the worship, and He's not just going to do work in your life through the tithes and the offerings, which are also an honor to Him. We minister to Him through that. And He's not just going to work in your life through the Word of God, the Word that we know is living and active. I mean, this whole service is set up not only to honor God, but to do a work in our life. So the same attitude that you come in with worship and the same holiness and the same reverence that you have in that time, you want to carry throughout the whole entire service, because God wants to do a work in your life that will bless you and change you and transform you in all things. So we would like to welcome our guests this morning. If you are a guest, would you just lift your hands? We have a packet for you. We want to bless you with a coffee mug. We have a ton of information for you. Keep your hands up. Just keep your hands up. We have some guest hosts that are going to come around and bless you. But as soon as we are done with the actual service, we'd like to invite you to come on out to the tent that's right beyond the porch. We want an opportunity to be able to meet you. Keep your hands up if nobody's met with you yet. They're coming around. We have some people up here that still need a packet. Anybody else in the house that has not received a packet yet back here? We have a crew of people back here. That's right. So we want to invite you to come on back to the tent afterwards, because we want to be a blessing to you, get to know you, build relationship with you. That's what we're all about here at His Tabernacle Family Church. We would like to welcome our live stream audience. We love you, and we're so excited that you're with us this morning. We have some great things going on in this house always. There's not one day of the week that you show up here and there is not something happening. And we would like to invite you out to First Steps. Turn to somebody next to you and say, First Steps. That's right, First Steps. We have a step one, step two, step three set of classes. And if you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus, then you need to make sure that you educate yourself. We are going to teach you exactly what you believe, not according to what the pastor says, not according to what your parents say, not according to what the youth pastor says, or what you heard on some TV evangelist show. We're going to teach you what you believe according to the Word. Word of God, because the Word works. Turn to somebody next to you and say, the Word works. That's right. Some of you are still half asleep, but that's okay. We're going to have church anyways. So we want to invite you to participate with another class, step three. It is an end times class on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock. Also, raise your hand if you're in a group. Who's in a group? Awesome. Okay, here's the deal. Every cool person is in a group, just so that you know. So if you want to be really cool, you got to get in a group. And there is this battle going on between which group is the coolest of all groups. And so really just building relationship is what God wants us to do. And as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens, or woman sharpens, another. So you want to make sure that you develop relationships that will equip you, build you up in your faith, and will edify you. Come on out to a group, and you can get information about that at the Hub. I am going to turn it over to Pastor Spencer.
Praise the Lord. Usually this is my wife's moment. I would just want to say hello for her. She is in South Africa and crushing it in South Africa. And for many who don't know, my wife and I started a ministry about 5 years ago called Empowering Pastors. What we do is we help pastors all over the United States. We have pastors in Canada and Kentucky and different other states that are working with us. Some of them are completely under His Tabernacle. As well as we have churches in Mexico. Very exciting stuff. And my wife started her ministry about 3 years ago called Empowering Pastors' Wives. And you know, some of the loneliest people in America are pastors' wives. And so my wife just really felt led to reach out. And she wrote a book. I don't know how many of you knew she wrote a book called No More Hurt. She wrote a book called No More Hurt for a reason, and that is because she lived a hurt life. She was sexually molested by about five different people growing up. She was abandoned by her father. There just time and time again, the wounds that she experienced in her life. And then she became a pastor's wife, and the wounds that happened as a pastor's wife. About 2 years ago, she was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. And she said, you know, I know that offense stops the power of God. So she got on her face and she started saying, God, just cleanse me, make me new. And the Lord started showing her all of these offenses that she had been carrying. And she got free. Everybody say amen. Free is good. And when she got free, God healed her. Now, I'm not talking, she didn't take one medical procedure. God completely took the cancer out of her body. She wrote a book called God Cannot Lie. If you want to grab that book, if you know somebody who's sick, a complete miracle. There's no other way to explain it, with pictures and doctor's report to prove. But what was interesting was somebody in Africa got a hold of, how many of you know my daughter-in-law, Jade? She's from South Africa, Pastor Jade. And her mom got a hold of this. They brought her last year, Pastor Rhonda, last year. She preached there. A lady with international ministry saw her there and brought her there this year. So this year, I just got to brag on Jesus, what He's doing. And this means you, because she is us. Amen? We are in South Africa today. She will be on national TV all over Africa and all over England. She's on the face of the National Christian Magazine this month, as well as she's going to be, in fact, today she starts, she's ministering to, for 2 days, those who have been sold into sex slavery, and then she'll be going to a squatter's camp. Does anybody know what a squatter's camp is? That's when people have nothing. They literally live in boxes. So she's going to be going into the squatter's camp and doing ministry on No More Hurt, how God can heal them no matter where they live, no matter what they're doing. So I just want to say thank you so much. My wife wants to say it. You'll see pictures on Facebook of her in Africa. What a phenomenal opportunity. And we just want to say we love you. Thank you for being our family. Amen. His Tabernacle has no idea. You have no idea how many lives we're touching. Literally. We were in South Africa last year, and one of the pastors of a very large church, a large ministry, said, I watch the leadership training every Tuesday. Your church has no idea the impact all over the world that's happening. Isn't it crazy? We're in the middle of a cornfield, but God is using all of us all over this world. It's a great opportunity. This morning, as we're getting ready to receive tithes and offerings, I just want to remind you, I'm not going to talk long on it, that tithing is a tenth. Now, I was getting ready to jump in the shower this morning, and the Lord spoke to my heart real quickly. He said, am I your candy man or am I your king? And I said, well, you're my king. He said, so if I ask you to do anything, you're going to do it. And I said, absolutely. And in our lives, is He your candy man or your king? You can tell the difference simply this way. Are you ready? If He asks you to do anything, are you willing to do it? If yes, He's your king. If not, He's your candy man. And I want you to know, He's never been anybody's candy man. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can I hear an amen? He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I want to challenge you to stop making Him your candy man and start making Him your king. not just to get to heaven, but in every facet of your life, and you'll find God's blessings will chase you down. Amen? So I challenge you to be a tither. Why is that? Because that's a command of God. The tithe is holy to the Lord. Be a tither. You'll find out God's blessing will always be on your life. I always say this, and I mean it. Tithe for 3 months. It's the only place in the scripture that God challenged you to do something. He said, I'll prove myself. Tithe 3 months. If it doesn't work, never tithe again. Is that fair? I'm not saying tithe 1 week, and if you can afford it the next, then tithe. No. Tithe entirely for 3 months. If God doesn't prove to you in 3 months that his word worked, then stop tithing and don't give another dollar to the kingdom of God. Is that fair? Amen? So shout out loud, I'm a tither. I can't hear you. Turn to somebody and say, I'm a tither. Stand your feet. Let's make our supernatural proclamation out of the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. If I obey, I'm blessed going in. And I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering. If you're watching by live stream, this is your opportunity. You know, many times people watch it, they just watch and they click off. But I challenge you, if this is your church, your home church is where you tithe. So you get off, you go over there. Maybe you're on vacation today and you're not here to tithe. You know, so you don't forget, you don't spend God's money. Make sure you jump right there and you tithe, you give right there. I don't mind if you can tithe the million. M-I-L-L-I-O-N. We love you. Make sure you're watching. In fact, be here next week, not just on live stream. We'll see you. If you want to give to the Weigels, there are many people that want to give to the Weigels. Just write it on your envelope. Make sure you're clear how much you're putting for them so that we make sure we give them one check.
You are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. From every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you.
I want to give a shout out. Mama Ebo is in the house this morning. Hallelujah. I love Mama Ebo. Praise the Lord. I can dress this way because my wife's in Africa. I can get away with it. Saw Pastor Obi type in, it's going to be a Converse day. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're excited that you're here. I got a message. I believe it's going to encourage you and strengthen you. I have a series that I've been trying to do for about 2 weeks. And I'm going to push it off till September. It's called Watchmen on the Wall. It's just too important for too many people to miss. We have so many folks that are on vacation, and I don't want people to miss this series. So we're going to be starting a new series in September called Watchmen on the Wall. You don't want to miss it. It's going to empower you, strengthen you, give you understanding and how to win your friends and your family to Jesus. How many of you know that if someone doesn't get saved, they don't go to heaven? A lot of people don't know that. In fact, in Christianity today, less than 65% of the people actually believe the Bible's true. And we're talking folks that call themselves Christians. And so I want you to know the Bible is true. There is no other name under heaven whereby you shall be saved but by the name of Jesus. You can't get to heaven because you're a good person. You can't get to heaven because you all roads lead to heaven. You can't get to heaven because your mom's going to heaven, your dad's going to heaven, or because you said a prayer 526 years ago. There's only one way to heaven, and that is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to have your sins washed away and to know him as your Lord and Savior. Can I hear an amen? You are God's divine connection for someone to get to heaven. I want you to realize, in fact, I got a quick question. How many of you came to church, got saved because someone invited you to church? How many of you just kind of wandered in? We did have one man wander in. He thought this was an auction hall on a Sunday morning. He thought it was an auction hall, so he came to church. I said, hey, all right. He gave his heart to Jesus, married one of our girls. He's a great man of God. He works with the men's ministry. So, you know, it's really funny because a lot of times we don't realize that without somebody else in our life, one plants, one waters, and God brings the increase, that somebody's not going to get saved. You would not have probably given your heart to the Lord unless somebody invited you, reached out to you, was a connection from God to you to connect him to himself. So today, can you thank God for the divine connection in your life that he sent to your life to receive Jesus Christ as the personal Savior? Amen? Give that person a hand clap in your life this morning. We don't always realize how much we're being watched. It's kind of a spooky thing. You know, when my wife and I went on TV locally, it was very interesting because when we started realizing it, we walked into Cracker Barrel one time, and this is what we saw. We're at the mall one day, and this guy comes. Where was I? I was in that shoe place. What's that, Shoe Doctor? I'm in the Shoe Doctor, and all of a sudden I hear, "No way!" And this older gentleman comes running at me. I'm like freaking out, you know. Running at me, "It's really you. Don't move. Don't move. I'm going to go get my wife." We went on a motorcycle trip last week with the motorcycle ministry, and we went up to Pogs Hill, I think they call it. It's a hill climb. So there's, I'm with the bikers, and we pull into Pogs Hill, and I'm just not really sure even what to expect. And I turn the corner, and there's 10,000 people. There's at least 2,000 motorcycles, and cars are parked everywhere. It was a national event, I guess. And so we parked the motorcycles, and literally this woman comes running over to me and says, "I'll see you in just a little bit." Dude, I'm serious. I was freaked out. For those who don't know what that is, at the end of our TV program, at the end of everyone, I say, "I'll see you in just a little bit." So this woman out of nowhere, I'm freaking out, like 10 seconds. I just barely got off my motorcycle. Every one of us this morning, whether you realize it or not, somebody is watching you. We are God's divine connection to somebody. They're watching our lives. And they want to know that if they accept God, will their life be different? Like yours is different, or is your life the same as theirs? See, so many believers, their life is the same as the unbeliever, so why would the unbeliever need God? Sometimes they're better off than you. The awesome part about being a believer is that God's got great news for you. And that is, you and I don't have to live the same way the world lives. We don't have to live the same way a sinner lives. We don't have to live the same way somebody who does not know Christ lives. We are different. Turn to someone and say, "You are really different." Now listen, be nice. Be nice. People are watching how we live. You know, usually, you know, I remember one time, my wife, she walked into Meniere's one time, and someone was really slow, like, checking her out. So she was going to say something to this person, and they turned and said, "Hi, Pastor Rhonda, how's the church doing?" Tad bit uncomfortable. I like patting my wife's rear end. We're married, I can do that. But I can't really do that in public anymore. I did that one time, and this older couple went, "People are watching you." You need to realize people are watching everything you do. And they want to know that if if they come to the God that you say you love and you serve, is their life going to be different? Or are they going to be the same? See, this is a big part in who we are, because as believers, when people watch us, especially when we go through difficult situations, how many of you have ever been through a difficult situation? I'm talking like, how many of you have ever felt overwhelmed before? How many of you have felt like, man, you've a little anxiety before? Just like you're not sure how what you're going to do, where you're going to turn, how things are going to turn out. You get overwhelmed, and you just sit back and you go, ugh. Can you do that with me? Ugh. Didn't that feel good? One more time. You sound like a dead cow. But they're watching to see how we act and watching to see how we react in our emotions, watching how when trouble comes our way, what are we going to do with it? I learned something way back in Bible school, and I've really laid hold of it. That was a long time ago, 1986. And it was this. Your problem is not your problem. It's what you do with your problem. You see, all of us are going to have problems. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. So the issue is not the problem. The issue is, as a believer, what are we doing with the problem that now we're facing? How are we handling it? What are we showing people? What are we revealing to people? What are they seeing through us when the pressure is on, when we're overwhelmed, when we're not sure where to turn? What are we doing at that very moment that is going to say to them, listen, I've got a God that is greater than you, and you need him. See, they're watching that in our lives. I'd like you to open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Bible says, casting all, everybody shout all. How many is all? Big, small, all. Amen. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. There's another verse that's found in Psalms chapter 55, verse 22, and it says this. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. The Bible's clear that when trouble comes our way, the difference between you and I and the world should be vast. You know that, right? When you got saved, everything changed in your life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. When you got saved, literally, God dwells inside of you. Turn to someone and say, I'm possessed. That's right. You're possessed by the Holy Spirit. You became the temple of the Holy Ghost. That literally the very personality of God now can be released through you, for it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. That personality is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You have all of the fruit of personality of the Holy Spirit inside of you, waiting to come out of you. So when trouble starts coming our way, many times as a believer, we react no differently than an unbeliever, and we become overwhelmed, we become depressed, we become anxious, and we're not sure what to do with our lives. And the world is saying, listen, if your God is so great, then why are you acting that way? If God is so powerful, what do you need, your crutch? You see, I don't need a crutch, I want a crutch. I need a cross. His name is Jesus Christ. I need one who died and rose from the dead. I need one who conquered death, hell, and the grave. I need the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer, the one who empowers me, lives inside of me, filled me with the Holy Ghost. I need God to dwell inside of me so that when trouble comes my way, I don't act the same way as the world. Tough one today. Oh, I just need some help this morning. That's right. Pastor Ebo, come with me. Give Pastor Ebo a hand clap this morning. And Pastor Daniel Dykes, thank you very much.
Over here.
Put these in your arm.
Over your head.
You've been lifting a lot.
Well, you might have just got out of it. Nope. Deliverance is no longer yours.
Over your head, please.
Yeah. Yeah, it works.
Okay. I don't know if you realize it or not, but not one human being, especially a believer, was ever designed to handle stress and anxiety. You know that, right? We were never created. God never created us to have to keep them above your heads now. Oh, look at you're shaking already. He never created us to be worried. He never created us to be fretful. He never created us to be overwhelmed. But yet, so many of us as believers, we literally live life to where we act the same way the world does. You know what's amazing? Scientifically and medically, they did the studies, and the majority of all sicknesses are confirmed that they come from what? Worry and anxiety. See, God never created you and I, especially as believers, to live this way. But what's happened is we start living out of our own life and figuring we can handle things on our own. Amen, I'm preaching. No. I got this thing. How many of you have ever said this? I got this thing. Come on, how many of you have ever said that before? I got this thing. No, it's no big deal, man. I got this thing. You know what we find out is that no matter how strong you are, for a while, you've got this thing. No. Don't give up yet. Come on, up over your head. You got this. Thank you. See, we live a life to where, listen, I can handle all things. I got this thing. I don't need anybody else. I'm all by myself. I got this thing. But I don't care who you are, after a while, you end up just getting tired. Are you good? No, you can't keep dropping it and picking it up. How you doing? No, cheating. Come on. No, up. Do it right. No, do it right. Up. How you doing? Honestly, this is how most of us live our lives. We'll carry the weight for a period of time, but after a while, it just literally gets so heavy. You're not sure what you're doing. You're walking around in circles. You're trying everything you can possibly to take this stress, this overwhelming off your life. And after a while, you're simply going to drop it. Because you can't handle it. And this is the truth about the believers. Many of us have gotten to a position in our lives to where we don't want God to help us. We don't ask God to help us. We don't position God to help us in our situation. So we struggle, we strain, we stress, we get overwhelmed. And the world looks at us and say, why would I want to serve your God? You live the exact same way I do. Let's go get some Prozac. It's true. And the issue comes down to is if they're watching us to see that our lives are different, the greatest place to see that our lives are different is when we're in a stressful situation. This is where you really see whether you trust God or not. You don't ever see where you trust God in peace. You see where you trust God when you're struggling. Your faith will not increase if there's never a battle in your life. And what's happened is
many of us abandoned our need for God, and we got this thing on our own. We can handle this. I'm going to lift this weight up. I'm going to do what I've got to do. But after a while, you're going to get tired. And when you get tired, you're going to drop it. And when you drop it, the reality is that people are watching you, and they're saying, I do that. I live just like that, man. You go to church? I don't need to go to church to get that. I got that right where I'm at. We've got to make decisions that our lives are going to be different from the people of the world, because they can be. You are different. You're not the same. Literally, the God of heaven dwells inside of you. That's not figurative. That's not religious. That is a reality. You are possessed by God himself, and there's nothing that you cannot accomplish. There's nothing that you cannot do. There's not a mountain that you cannot call and break down. There's something in your life that you got to make a decision on, and that is, I am truly somebody in Jesus Christ. When you identify who you are in Christ, then everything changes how you work and how you live. But so many of us have chosen to fight our own battles, do whatever we want to do. When you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, you've got to make a decision. Is it you going through the valley? Or is God walking with you, before you? And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why won't I fear? Because thou art with me. You see, I'm not going in this life alone. I'm not living through my problem alone. I'm not living through this stress alone. My God is able to do abundantly above all I could even ask or imagine. There's nothing impossible if I just believe. I refuse to live like the world. It's real. You know, a lot of preachers are just trying to make it sound like, you know, you don't ever have a problem. That's not true. You're going to have problems. If you're married, you definitely have problems. Turn to your wife and say, no, I'm sorry. I can say that. She's not here. I think she's watching, though. I'll just tell you a little bit about me. I don't know if you've ever done this, but every once in a while I find myself praying this. God, I need you to be bigger in my life. And it's not that God isn't already big. It's not that God isn't the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's not that he didn't call the world into existence with words. It's not that he didn't open the Red Sea and they crossed on dry ground. It's not that he didn't turn bitter water to sweet and bring food to their table every single morning. It's not that he didn't. Come on, now we can go through the list of all the miracles and the signs and the wonders of Jesus walking on water, opening blind eyes, making deaf to hear, raising the dead. Man, we got Jesus who needed money, so he sent Peter out to go fishing and open his mouth, and there's enough money in his mouth of that fish just to pay my taxes and yours. You see, with God, there's nothing that's impossible. But I remember, I've said it multiple times at different times in my spiritual walk, God, you're too small to me. And it's not that God is too small, but my understanding of God is too small. So what happens when your understanding of God is too small? Your faith level only goes to the level that you believe for. Some of you have made God human. He's as powerful as another man, or the lack thereof. And so when you pray, it's more in hope, because you know you can't do it, and man, you don't really know that God can do it, and so you're not even sure how to pray, how to act, how to react. And God is saying, listen now, you've got to know this, that I am the King, I am the One. There's nothing that I can't do, and you need a revelation. You need an apocalypsis. You need an unveiling of who God is. You need the Ephesians prayer, that revelation of the understanding of who God is in your life, because he is not a man. There is nothing that he cannot accomplish. Truly, honestly, without any reservation, without any exaggeration. If God said it, it is so. So, period. Exclamation point. It is completed in eternity. Our God is awesome, and there's nothing that he cannot accomplish. He is your way maker and your miracle God. Some of you need miracles, and that's why you're overwhelmed, and you're sitting back and you're trying to help God. You know, You came to church, and now you're starting to pray, Lord, you know I need this. Well, God, you're taking a long time. Let me help you. Let me help you, God. Let me help you, God. Lord, I can help you. You know what? Every time I've tried to help God, I've messed my life up. Is anybody out there? Well, God, you know, you must be too weak. You need some help over here. Let me grab something and try to make it happen for you. God is saying, listen now, I didn't need your help when I created. I didn't need your help when I called those things which are not as though they already are. I didn't need your help when I planned my son to die on the cross, raised from the dead, kicked the devil's butt, and sit at my right hand. See, this is where the difficulty of understanding God is, because we want to help God. We want to assist God. And God is saying, now listen, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. God is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. But the difficulty is when we always try to help him, we get in the way. Well, the truth is some of us don't ever let God even near the way, because we got this thing. And let's be real, you got nothing. Tomorrow, everything could change in your life. We know somebody that was here today and gone tomorrow. Somebody you never expected to die. You had somebody in your life, a relationship, you thought everything was good, and then tomorrow, bam, they walked out on you. We think we got everything in our pocket. The fact is that we're human. We got nothing. We're not supernatural. Without God in our life, we're nothing. But we think we got it all. The problem is, the moment you know you've stepped into stress and being overwhelmed, you at that very moment have disqualified God from being the miracle worker and the way maker in your life. The moment you grab a hold of those reins, you've taken his hands off. You've got to know that God's passion for your life, and that's what I love so much about that verse, that cast all your cares upon him, and that latter portion, because he cares for you. He really loves you. He really wants you to be successful. He really wants you to work through that problem. He really wants to make you more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord, not just a survivor. I hate it when Christians call themselves survivors. Well, I'm a survivor. Well, God bless you. I ain't no survivor. I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, my Lord. You see, when my God comes in my life, when my God came in my life, everything changed. And the people that are watching you at work, the people that are in your family are watching you. And the one thing that they're watching is, listen, when calamity comes, when catastrophic situations come in your life, how are you handling it? Are you grabbing a hold of it? Are you freaking out? Are you stressed out to where you're not even sure what you're going to do? Or have you really said, God, you know, I don't know how you're going to pull this thing off, but man, I know you do. I remember one time, well, more than one time, but I'll just tell you one time. We had a situation where the tithes and offerings were low for quite a month. That was the year we had two ice storms here at His Tabernacle. And we lost $4,000 per week in tithes and offerings. That's $8,000 under in 2 weeks in tithes and offerings. And, you know, we don't have a beer tent or bingo. You know what I mean? So it's people are either giving or they're not giving. And so here I was, I remember driving, I was going from Big Flats, and I got about to the mall area, and I was praying, God, you know, we need $8,000, Jesus. I don't know where you're going to pull this off. And all of a sudden, it just stirred up inside my heart. And I said, God, I'm not the owner of this, of His Tabernacle Family Church. You're the pastor, you're the king, you're the head of the church. I'm just a manager. So I know this. God, it's your responsibility to provide the $8,000. God, it's your responsibility to take this stress off my life. It's your responsibility to bring in the money. I don't care where you bring it in. I don't care how you bring it in. I don't care if you bring it in through a cow. I don't care if you bring it in through a fish. I don't care if you bring it through the mail. All I know is I cast my cares upon you, for you care for me. You want to know something? From that day forward, honestly, from that day forward, I very rarely ever stress about money, because I've really come to that understanding that God is big enough to take care of this house. And I got another revelation for you. God is big enough to take care of your house. God is able to take care of you. He loves you. See, until you get this, you're always trying to do this thing on your own. I got this thing. Got this thing. I got this thing. After a while, you can't keep that thing. It gets too heavy. Your life seems to fall apart. The only way for your life to fall apart is if you're not leaning on Christ. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Trust in the Lord. You see, the word trust is the same word synonymous with faith. Faith says, I believe it before I can see it accomplished. God, I know you're able to do abundantly above all I could even ask or imagine. God, I trust that you're going to come through. Lord, this is not my problem. This is our problem. And Lord, I cast my cares upon you, for you care for me. And I know, God, that you're able to make something out of nothing. I know, God, that you can bring back the waters if you need to. I know, God, that you can stop the flood if you have to. I know, God, that you're able to do anything I need in my life. Now, you can say amen, but do you mean amen? Because there's a difference between meaning and saying it. See, the push comes to shove when all of a sudden hell starts licking your toes. You've got to make a decision, not when hell starts licking your toes, but before that, that you're going to allow God to be who God is. And that is, he is your way maker and your miracle worker. He is the one that will come into your life and transform you. He'll come to a situation that is absolutely impossible and make it more than possible. He'll bring the answer to your life if you allow him to carry instead of you. I love that verse because it is so powerful. Casting all your cares upon. You know, just break it up. Up on. Up on. I'm taking all my cares and I'm bringing them up on him. Come here, Tara. Okay. I was going to try to curl it, but let's move on. What this is up on. So that means it's my weight, it's too heavy, so I'm going to put it up on him. Now, where is it in my hands? Now, he's not God. No, I didn't hurt my finger. No. Kind of bounced out. But if he was God, I would take my weight and I would put it up on him. Now the weight's not up on me. The weight is up on God. That means I'm not carrying it anymore. That means it's not my stress. Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing. Be stressed about nothing. But let everything, listen, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So the only way to make it to where you aren't carrying this overwhelming strain in your life is to put it up on God. And he is bigger than Terry. I don't usually do this, but I'm going to give you five things you need to do, so you need to write them down. Five things you need to do when stress and strain gets in your life. And the reason I'm asking you to write them down, because I never do this, number one, so you're getting a record right here. But number two, these principles work. Before you write down number one, I want to give you the precursor to number one. You ready? This is what it is. If you're in stress and strain because you're in sin, God can't help you. Say it one more time. If you're in sin and you're overwhelmed, you're stressed, and you're strained, know this. You've disqualified God from helping you in your life. God will never, you listen now, you cannot live hell and expect to enjoy heaven. Are you out there? You cannot live any way you want and expect God's going to bless you. People have a twisted mindset today that I can live any way I desire, and as long as I live that way, God still has to bless me because he has to. God don't have to do nothing. When you're in sin, the wages of sin is death. Now, you might not be feeling the strain and the stress of the sin that you're involved in right now, but I guarantee you will be, because once the joy of sin waxes over, baby, then you got to deal with the reality. Anybody who says sin's not fun is a liar. But there is a wage to sin. And that wage to sin is you're going to be stressed, you're going to be strained, because there is a consequence for sin. Can I hear an amen or am I? Now that that's over. Number one, when you feel all of a sudden a hard time, how many of you are going through a hard time right now? Honestly, that's good. Ready? When you're going through a hard time, number one, the first thing you got to do in your life is this. Is you have to know that Jesus cares for you. You know, it's easy to believe that God loves somebody else. But how many of you know yourself? How many of you know yourself not as pretty as other people might know you? Amen. You know who you are, man. You know, man, you love God truly and you're following the Lord, but you're not pretty. I want you to know this. I don't care how you look. You'll never be good enough for God. He loves you with an everlasting love, an unconditional love. It can't get any better and it can't get any worse. God truly loves you, cares for you, and is passionate towards you, and he loves to be able to be there for you. You know, my kids, I love my kids. My daughter, I love my daughter. And you know, one thing that's for sure is if I see my daughter in need, you know, there's times I just simply don't want to help her. Just tell them the truth. But I'll do what I got to do because I love her. Amen. There are times that I've just sat there and I had a $100 bill on me. And I looked at my daughter and I saw she didn't have much at all. And I'll just hand her a $100 bill. Why? Because I want my kids blessed. I want my kids taken care of. Listen now, there are times that like my kids needed stuff. And you know what? My wife and I haven't had a lot all the time. And you know, we're blessed now. But there are many years that I lived on $25 a week or $10 a week. I just barely survived in ministry. But you know what? If I could do anything for my kids, I would do it for my kids. Because I want to see them more successful than me. I want them blessed. I want them to live a life that has less trouble than I've had. Can I hear an amen from mom and dad? You want your kid blessed. And if you earthly parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father wants to bless you? Daddy God, Father God wants to bless you. Father God wants you to know that no matter what problem you're going through, he cares about that. He knows about that. Whether it's you need $5. Man, there was one time a woman, she was coming to church, and she told us a testimony after. She put her last $20 in the gas tank and came to church, and she had no more even to get to work and to do all the stuff that she needed to do with groceries, etc. And she just came to church. She says, I've got to get to the house of God. She said, God, I don't know what you're going to do, but I know you're good. She said, I didn't tell anybody about any of these things. And guess what? Someone walked up and gave her $100. That took care of the whole rest of the week. I want you to know that your dad, your Father God, knows exactly what you need, whether it be big or whether it be small. Listen, $5 to God is no different from $1 million for God. Moving your pebble is no big deal as moving a mountain to God. If God will do one, he'll do it all. God to him is nothing. He's omnipotent. That means all powerful. There's nothing he cannot accomplish. So number one, you got to believe that your daddy truly, truly cares and loves you. Number two, you got to determine that instead of staring at your situation, you're going to see the word of God. So many of us stare at our problems. You know, you stare at something long enough, it gets bigger than it really is. All of a sudden, I'm not saying it's not real. I'm not saying it's not there. I'm not saying it's not valid. I'm not saying it's not hurtful. But the more you stare at it, it doesn't go anywhere. It just gets bigger. You start staring at it with your own strength, and you know you can't do anything. So you now you get overwhelmed. You've got to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. God will make a way where there is no way. God loves when you take him upon his word. If God said it, it is so. Every jot and tittle shall be completed. He is not a liar. If God said in his word he's for you and not against you, then he'll move mountains to make it happen for you. If God said there's nothing impossible for those who believe, then there's nothing impossible for those who believe. You must believe the word of God. You know, there are too many believers are not in the Bible. The only time you pick up a Bible, maybe not even on Sunday because we do this graphics thing. There's so many believers that don't even read the Bible at all. Here's the problem. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You don't want to wait till trouble starts troubling you to start building your faith. Man, when trouble starts coming, you better already be strong. When the wind starts blowing against that house, you better already have the windows barricaded. Can I hear an amen? You better already be ready for the storm before it hits. So many believers are not in the word of God, so your faith is weak. If you're not in the Bible, you can't be strong enough when the storms come to trust God, because you've got to have faith to trust God. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. And those who believe must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But you can't believe that he is if you're not in the word of God, because you don't know your stance and what you can ask him and therefore receive. Your strength is not in you. It's not in him. It's in you. You know, I'm in the Word a lot. And my wife's been gone since Wednesday. And, you know, I do this when she's home too. But there are many times, just in the last three nights, I've left the Word on. Last night I started in, I believe it was Romans. And when I woke up this morning on YouVersion, you know how it reads to you? The Bible reads to you. You all know that, right? You can get the app online. It's whether it's Apple or whether it's, what's that other thing called? Oh, Android thing. That's right. Whether you're Apple or Android, you can get an app called YouVersion, and it actually reads the Bible to you. So last night I went to bed, it was in Romans. When I woke up this morning, it was in Jude. When I woke up in the middle of the night twice to go pee, it was still playing. You're laughing at it. It builds you. Your spirit man never sleeps. So I'm in the Word during the day. I'm in the Word at night. Listen now, I'm Pastor Spencer, but before I've ever been Pastor Spencer, my name is Michael James Spencer, and my first name is spelled wrong because my mother spelled it wrong on the birth certificate. I'm a guy. I'm a normal person. I pull my pants up. You know, I got to put my shirt on. I got a shower. Dear Jesus, everyone's got a shower. I've got to be in the Word, just like you've got to be in the Word. And you know what? I've had problems come my way. When they told Rhonda, her and I were sitting there together. It was a 7 a.m. meeting with that doctor. And he looked at us and he said, "Mrs. Spencer, I'm so sorry to tell you, but you have cancer." I didn't have time to start building my faith. I had to have faith that was already solid. You need to start being in the Word every single day. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. The more you build your faith up, man, when the troubles start coming your way, and they will come, when a trouble comes your way, you have the faith to stand and say, "This is not my problem. This is God's problem. I cast it at Christ." I'm almost done. I see I'm boring people. I'm going to move on quickly. Number three. You got to start getting violent. What? I thought Christians were passive. Nope. The Bible says the violent shall take it by force, talking about the kingdom. But number two, it's interesting when you start looking at this Greek word. The Greek word cast literally means to violently throw it down. When trouble comes your way, you don't sit there and whine about it. You don't sit there and complain about it.
Well, you know, where is God when I need him? I thought he was going to show up. Shut up. Shut up.
Put your shoulders back. Lean forward. And speak to your mountain. You say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. In the name of Jesus, I command you, problem, to get upon the arms and the throne of Christ, because this is not my problem. God, this is your problem. You're able to deliver me. You're able to free me. You're able to provide for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. There's nothing that he can accomplish. We've got to make a decision. Will you cast it or keep it? Number four, surround yourself with faith people. Do you know why we do groups?
Well, because you want us to come out one more day a week.
How foolish. The reason we do groups is because it's even in the natural world. When you're all by yourself, you're easy picking. Man, when you got problems coming down your pike, you don't need someone looking over your shoulder and going,
well, I hope you make it. Well, you know, God helps those who help themselves. Well, you know, yeah, I'll pray for you, but you know they're not praying for you. Well, you know, I just want you to know that I'll be here for you. Just don't call if it's late.
You need faith people surrounding you. You need the brothers and sisters surrounding you. You need men and women of God of faith surrounding you. Man, when you're all by yourself, you got nobody but you. And the problem is easily overcoming you. But when you got people around you, when you start getting weak, I love this. Looking at Moses, Aaron and Hur. When Moses' arms were up, they were winning the battle. But he started getting tired, so his arms started to lower. So Aaron and Hur pushed his arms up, and they held him up. You need people in your life that are filled with faith, that are filled with power, that are filled with the glory of God. So they'll call those things which are not. And man, when you start getting weak, they'll start pushing you. When you start ready to give up, they'll just encourage you. Encourage one another while today is called today, lest the sin come upon them and unbelief overtake them. Who do you got around you?
If you're not part of a group of people that are filled with faith, who are you around? The worldly friends?
Man, I liked you better the way you were. You want to go get stoned? Honestly, this is where, you know, the rubber meets the road. This is number four. If you don't have faith people around you, there are times you just need someone to speak life to you. Where all of a sudden you're starting to stagger a little bit and they run up beside you, grab you by your shoulder, say, stand up! I don't got the strength! So they'll hold you up. There's nobody so big in this church, nobody so big on this planet that they don't need someone to hold them up. There are times you get tired and you just need somebody to grab you by the arm and lift you up. That's why we have groups. We don't want you to live life alone. We want you, man, when crap hits the fan, you got somebody there with a shovel with you. So you got some help. Number five, I'll end with this one. Walk by faith and not by sight. If all you can see is the care, then you're walking by sight. Watch this. If you can only see what's in front of you, you'll always miss your destiny. If you can only see your problem, you'll never walk in victory.
Faith is not what's in front of you. Faith is what is going to be called into being. So if you are only seeing what's in front of you, you are walking by sight and not by faith. Faith moves God. Hope does not move God. Need does not move God. God is moved by faith. So when you call those things which are not as though they already are, God just releases the power from heaven to accomplish what you need in your life. But if all you can see is your problem, you're not walking by faith. You're walking by sight. I can't tell you how many people I say, they say this to me, well, I'm just a realist. Well, you go on ahead, be a realist. I'm a faithist. You can be a realist and all you're going to see is you're going to see your problem. But I'm going to be a faithist and I'm going to call those things which are not as though they already are. I'm going to speak unto my mountain and it's going to cave in. I'm going to declare and God's going to create. He's going to bring something from where there is nothing and God is going to do a miracle. He is my way maker, my miracle worker. My God is awesome. My God is great. My God is supernatural. My God's not weak. There's nothing he cannot do. 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Five things. Number one, believe that God cares about you. Number two, determine that you're going to see and speak the word. Number three, you're going to get violent, going to cast that thing away from yourself. Number four, you're going to surround yourself with faith people. Now listen, I don't want to be a jerk or nothing, but I kind of do. You don't got these five things lined up in your life, you're just not a wise person. You're not. If you don't got these things lined up in your life and you start coming to my office because you need help, I'm going to say, do you got those five things? And you go, well, you know, I was busy. Really? Okay, you stay busy. Because now it's yours, right? Well, I thought you were a nice preacher. Not really. I'm a word preacher. And the fact is, if you don't want to accept the word, there's nothing I can do for you anyways. Amen? So my question to you is this. You have those fives in order in your life? Who are the people you surround? What group of people do you have surrounding you? When you're... Isn't she beautiful? We are so proud of Mackenzie Coe. You see, she's had a lot of difficult things too. You don't know her life. Isn't it amazing? We look at the people that seem to be more visible and we think they got everything under wraps. The truth is that everybody who's ever gotten to where people see them, they usually paid more of a price. And they've had to learn this. Because if you don't learn this in ministry, you don't last long. You cave quick. My question to you is this. Do you really know that God loves you? Do you really know that? I'm talking more than just, well, of course, God loves everybody. Do you really know that he cares for you? Some of you have gone through, man, your parents didn't love you. Your friends abandoned you. You've dealt with rejection your whole life, and you struggle with the fact of really believing that God loves you. Hear me! God loves you. Get in the Word! You can't afford not to be in the Word! Build your faith. Man, I don't know who you got around you, but you know this preacher? He's smart enough to get really great people around him. Honestly, if I told you my circle are great men and women of God who literally have shaken the nations. And I make sure that I sit with them, listen to them. And if I have a problem, I call them. I have no problem calling Bishop. I have no problem calling Brother Ted Shuttlesworth. I have no problem calling my oversight when Pastor Edwin was alive. I had no problem calling anybody. Why? Because I've learned real quickly I'm really just not that smart. And if I could figure it out, everything would be taken care of and I wouldn't need God. So I go to faith-filled people that are going to build me up. Who do you got?
Well, I've got George.
You better hope George stays alive then, right? Better hope George stays saved. With all you got is George, I think you need more people around you.
Well, I don't like people.
Then you need to get saved. I'm not kidding you. You thought I was just doing a laugh? No. You don't love people, man. You need to get saved. God will put love for people in your heart. That's who he is. God is love. So my question to you is this. In your time of being overwhelmed, what are you going to do? Do you have your life lined for success or lined for failure? Will you bow your head with me this morning? Morning, maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I want you to know that today I don't have a magic potion for you. I have the Word of God for you. I don't have anything up my sleeve. I have the truth for you. The truth shall make you free. What is the truth? That Jesus Christ will wash your sins away. He'll make you a brand new man, brand new woman. And with God on your side, you cannot fail. But if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're all by yourself. Better hope that life keeps breathing good on you, because in a millisecond everything can change. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you want him in your life, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. You would like Jesus to wash your sins away, to become part of the family of God, so that you can call upon his name whenever you want as a child of heaven and declare that God is able to do abundantly above. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand, young lady. Thank you. You can put it right back down. Thank you, young man. I see it right there. Anybody else? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Is there anyone else? Come on. I'm not going to wait long. I don't want to beg anybody, because if I got to beg you, then you don't really want it anyways. 5, 4. Get your hand up. Thank you, ma'am. 3. Come on. 2. Last call. You know why I do the last call? Because it might be your last call. 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Hi, honey. For those who raise their hand, I'm going to ask you to be brave. Can everyone do me a favor? Turn to the person next to them and say, if you didn't raise your hand but you wanted to go up front, I'll go with you. Turn to somebody and say that to them. You ready? For those who did raise their hand, I want you to grab the person next to you. If you're just brave, come right out of your chair. Meet me right up front. The Bible says, if you confess me before God, before man, I'll confess you before my Father. All right. My girl. Come on, be brave. That hurts. Yay. There we go. I was just waiting for one more, and here she comes. You know, the Bible says that when a sinner gets saved, all of heaven breaks into a party. Come on, don't let heaven outshout you. Woo! Your lives will never be the same from this day forward. Because this isn't religion. This is Jesus literally changing your life from the inside out. And so today, I just want to congratulate you and say thank you so much for becoming part of the family of God. These two beautiful ladies right here are going to pray with you, get your Bibles, make sure you're on the right trail. And we want to make sure that you don't just start this journey, but finish this journey. You know, we don't want you to get into kindergarten and quit in first grade. Hard to get a job because you can't write. So what we wanted you to do is give your heart to Jesus and go all the way with God. All the way to the end, all right?
You're saying, well, what's that? Well, I don't know, man. It's going to be awesome no matter what it is, right? God's only got good thing. Every good and precious gift comes down from the Father of lights. So if you follow them over, right there, they're going to pray with you right there. I'm very proud of you. Come on, give them another hand clap. Glory to God. Last verse, and then we'll go. Ready? Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Keep your eyes on Jesus, baby. You'll make it to the end. And no matter what the devil brings against you, you'll walk away and you won't even smell like smoke. Can I hear an amen? Trust in the Lord. He'll bless you. Father, bless your house this morning in the name of Jesus. All that we do this week, God, let us lead at least one soul to Jesus. Use our lives, God. And Jesus, when trouble comes our way, we just wanted to know real quickly. We're going to trouble you because we're casting you violently upon the shoulders of Christ on that Calvary's tree. And we know, God, that you said that your burden is light. For the glory of God, in Jesus' name. And everybody shout it. The prayer team's around the front of the altar. If you need any prayer, they're here. We love you. Have an awesome week in Jesus.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.